Well, I want now to speak on a verse from Proverbs chapter 20. So if you have your Bible, please do look up the 20th chapter of the book of Proverbs and verse 12, where it simply says this: "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both." And I want to think about this verse in three ways this evening. I want to think about it physically, I want to think about it spiritually, and then I want to think about it practically. First of all, physically, the hearing ear. Let's think about the hearing ear, first of all. And it is amazing, I've been doing a little bit of research into the human ear. The human ear isn't just an organ for hearing, it's also for balance. Inside the human ear, there are the three smallest bones in the body, and the smallest one is shaped like a stirrup. If you hold a shell to your ear, you say you're hearing the sea, but actually what you're hearing is the blood rushing through your ear. You also have two muscles inside your ear. And the most amazing thing I've discovered this week is that whenever sound comes into your ear, something like 15,500 tiny hair cells vibrate to pass the sound through your ear and eventually into your brain, which interprets whether it's a dog barking or a person speaking or music that you're hearing. It's an amazing piece of technology, we might say, is the human ear. But the human eye is in a totally different league altogether. The human eye is the size of a table tennis ball. It has within it 2 million working parts. The muscles that control the eye are the most busy muscles in the whole of the human body. And for me, the most amazing thing is that whenever you look at something, the image comes into your eye upside down. But it's your brain then that turns it right way up. And when I hear about the ear and the eye, I'm simply amazed that anybody can believe in evolution at all. Because here, surely, when we think about this sort of technology, this sort of kit, we might say, behind this sort of design, there is a designer behind this sort of creation. There must be a creator. But let me think about it, not just physically, but also spiritually. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord God has made them both. I'm thinking now about an unhearing ear, thinking about the man that Emily read about in Mark's gospel. A man, we're told, who was deaf, and a man who had a speech impediment. In this Decapolis, 10 cities north of the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus came along and Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Jesus spat and touched the man's tongue and made the man hear, made the man speak. I'm also thinking of the blind man in John chapter 9, the man who was born blind, we're told. And Jesus spat on the ground and made clay and put it on the man's eyes. Prior to that, Jesus had said, "I am the light of the world," which for a man who was blind was just words, surely. But Jesus sent him to wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he went and washed in the pool of Siloam, he came back seeing. And he uttered those famous words, which the hymn is based upon: "I once was blind, but now I see." So a man who had unseeing eyes and a man who had unhearing ears, Jesus was the one who had opened the eyes of the blind and opened the ears of the deaf. And I'm thinking, just as we reflect on this evening, of the spiritual lessons, because of sin, we're all born blind. Because of sin, we're all born deaf. We're blind to the glory of God. The Bible says the devil has us blinded to the glory of God. We just can't see it. We listen to people preaching, for example, or we read a page of the Bible and we say, I just can't see this. Or we listen to someone preaching and we hear, and again we say, I just don't get this, don't understand this. This is because sin is at work in our lives, and sin is there to deafen us, to blind us, to keep us captive. And yet with the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, came one who came to open the eyes of the blind, to open the ears of the deaf. In Jesus Christ, we have someone who has that sort of power. We have someone, for example, whenever the Greeks came to the disciples and they said to the disciples, "Sir, we would see Jesus." They asked Philip to take them to Jesus. Philip had a Greek name. He went to Andrew. And when they told Jesus, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." It's interesting that these people wanted to come and see Jesus. And what Jesus did was he started to talk about his death. Why? Well, because it was through his death that the blind would be able to see. Through his death that the deaf would be able to hear. You see, in Jesus Christ on Calvary, the problem of sin was dealt with. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus paid it all. Jesus took away the sin that blinds, took away the sin that deafens to the voice of God. And through the cross of Calvary, Jesus opened up the way that we could see him as the light of the world. A missionary was once conducting a mission in Vienna in Austria, student mission, and the student intimated that they wanted to come and meet with him and discuss their problems. So an appointment was made. When the student eventually came to the missionary and said to the missionary that they had made this appointment, the missionary said, "Okay, what are the problems you want to talk about?" The student said this, "I have none now, for I have seen him. I have none now, for I have seen him." In other words, between making the appointment and coming to see the missionary, they had been converted to Jesus Christ. They had been saved. And now that they had seen him, their problems, whatever issue it was that was keeping them back, had been resolved. And for us today, if we want to see, if we want to hear, we must look to Christ crucified for our sins. You must do that, to see Christ, to see him as the light of the world, to see him as the one who opens up our eyes, who unstops our ears. The psalmist said that in Psalm 40. He said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened." Or it might even say, "My ears you have dug." Sometimes we get wax in our ears. And my research this week was telling us that wax is necessary because it stops the dirt and the dust going down and damaging your inner ear, the sensitive part of your ear. But sometimes wax needs dug out, as it were. And God, as it were, does that. Whenever we come to Christ, he unstops our ears so that we hear the voice of God. "My sheep," said Jesus, "hear my voice, and they follow me." So we've thought about the hearing ear and the seeing eye, and we've thought about how physically and spiritually these are amazing acts of God. But finally, practically, what can we say about the hearing ear and the seeing eye? Well, I mentioned Philip, who went to Andrew and who took these Greeks, presumably to Jesus, to meet with him. Or we might say the woman at the well. She, having met with Christ, she went to the townsfolk and she said, "Come see a man who told me all that I ever did." She really wanted the townsfolk to see Jesus as well. And a marker of those who have seen Jesus is their desire that others would see him as well. I'm thinking of the student that I mentioned in Vienna a few minutes ago. And that student, whenever they went back to their hometown in Czechoslovakia, they started up two student Bible studies so that other students might also come to see Jesus and hear Jesus for themselves. And let me ask you too, in your personal life, if the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord God has made them both, are you hearing what God is saying to you at this time? Are you seeing what God is doing in your life at this time? Many people, I think, are searching. Many people are seeking. Many people are asking questions at this time. Whenever things have been taken away from us, normal life has been suspended. People are looking for reasons. People are looking for answers. Maybe through these events, God is speaking to your life. Maybe you're not a Christian and you have this yearning, this longing to know, to see, to hear a word that is different to the words of this world. Well, here is God speaking surely in this time. Or if you're yearning to see something beautiful, glorious, something that is outside of this world, something your heart eternity is in our heart, says the Bible. Well, are you asking God for the hearing ear? Are you asking God for the seeing eye? Because the Lord God made them both. Jesus, we are told, is the creator of sight and the creator of sound. Certainly as he met with the blind man and as he met with the deaf man in the Decapolis. Too many people, I believe, follow God at a distance. The missionary I met mentioned a few minutes ago had a cottage in Norway, and because of the war, he couldn't get to his cottage, the Second World War. Eventually, when he got there, he discovered that the view had gone. The bushes had grown up, the trees also, and he couldn't see the beautiful view from his cottage, so he ran upstairs, and there was the beautiful view. So what he did was he got his chainsaw out and an axe, and he went down and he cut away the branches and he cut away the bushes and he restored the view so that it could be seen from the ground floor as well as from the upper floor of the cottage. Let me end by asking, has your life over these past years, has it become clogged? Have bushes grown up? Have trees grown up? Can you no longer see God? Can you no longer see what he is doing in your life? Can you no longer hear what God is saying to you? These are days in which God has stripped away much from us. But I wonder, are you looking? I wonder, are you listening? I wonder, can you say, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. If you need to hear, if you need to see, ask Jesus Christ. Ask him, turn to him, because he is the creator of sight. He is the creator of hearing, and he will lead you through these difficult times. May God bless you. Thank you for listening. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.